Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Coming to you from New York City, the only city in America, it's The Daily Show. Tonight, the Queen's throwing a rager, the door control debate, and Sir He Kissed Lisa. This is The Daily Show with Trevor Noah.
Fun episode for you tonight. The midterm elections have already been decided. Surprise! America's fish are doing drugs, and Her Majesty the Queen is celebrating 70 years as the world's most beloved unelected dictator. So, let's do this, people. Let's jump straight into today's headlines. All right, everybody. As you may know, and as you should know, today was a very special day for the Queen. And no, I'm not talking about Beyoncé. I'm talking about the original Queen. The crown-wearing, Range Rover-driving, 96-year-old, five-foot giant whose face has been on money longer than any of us losers have even been alive. Long live the Queen! I'm sorry. Every one of us from the colonies, we just get so excited when we talk about the Queen. Yeah, they whipped it into us when we were kids. It's not my fault. Where was I? Oh, yes, yes. Queen Elizabeth II has now officially been on the throne for 70 years, which means it's time to throw a little party.
4 days of parades and pageantry underway in London this morning to celebrate the historic 70-year reign of Queen Elizabeth. Hundreds of thousands gathering outside of Buckingham Palace. Tens of millions watching around the world, an event filled with royal tradition and ceremony.
1,500 troops, 350 horses. This pageantry is the envy of the world. At Stonehenge, they have been showing pictures of the Queen from different decades.
The Jubilee's official dessert, a 7-layer lemon trifle in honor of the Queen's 7 decades of service.
The Queen has given us her life. Really.
Love her. She's beautiful.
God save the Queen!
The incredible composure of the Queen herself standing on that balcony. Just how glamorous Kate looked. I mean, she is becoming an icon. And then little Prince Louis, who looked frankly bored and a little unimpressed by the whole thing.
Yeah, of course he's bored. Don't forget, he's a prince, okay? So, to him, she's not the Queen of England in her palace. She's just granny in her house with the grandma smell, all right? It doesn't matter what the spectacle is. At the end of the day, he is still a little kid at a family party. If you want to hold his interest, you know what you got to do? You got to give him an iPad. Yeah. That's what I do with 4-year-olds. Whenever I look after them, yeah, I put YouTube on autoplay, and then boom, they sit for like 10 hours straight. Yeah, I'm the world's best babysitter, and they come away understanding that Bush did 9/11. But seriously, this looked like so much fun. 4 days of parties. It's like a Burning Man where nobody's pretending to be poor. They've got 1,500 troops, hundreds of horses, 7-layer desserts. The only part I didn't enjoy was when they projected the Queen onto Stonehenge. Yeah, that felt kind of like an age thing, you know? I was like, hey, you two know each other, don't you? Yeah, Queen, say hi to the stone faces. And while this extravaganza may seem excessive to people, you gotta admit, 70 years on the throne is impressive. You know, in fact, it's impressive for any job. Who else has held on to a job for that long? Huh? I mean, if you think about it, in fact, maybe it's time for the Queen to try something new. I mean, with the skills she's learned at this job, you know, she could try something else. She would be an incredible Walmart greeter, you know? Just like, plasma screens in aisle 5. She could be a consultant on the next season of Bridgerton, you know? Yeah, just being like, it's not bad, but I wish we had this many chocolate hunks in my day. Yeah, or the best foot of all, she could be a rapper. Yeah, the Queen would be seamless in that. Yeah, she's got the bodyguards, she's got the bling, she just went platinum. All she needs now is to start a beef with another monarch. Yeah, you want some of this, Emperor Naruhito? Didn't think so, bitch! But let's move on from someone who's been on the throne for 70 years to someone who wishes they could be on the throne for 70 years more. Donald Jubilee Trump. Because do you guys remember, you know, how Trump and his people peacefully tried to dispute the 2020 election? Do you guys remember that? Yeah? Well, if you don't, I understand. It was like 34 years ago in pandemic time. But it turns out that since Trump left office, the MAGA crowd has been plotting their next move like a cartoon villain. And the reason we know this now is because yesterday, Politico dropped a bombshell story about how the GOP might plan to win the midterms without having the most votes. Yeah, because you see, in 2020, they were trying to challenge the election. But thanks to a new leaked recording, we now know the new MAGA plan is to install Trump supporters as poll workers to challenge the election from the inside.
In a stunning piece of reporting, Politico has uncovered tapes of Republican operatives strategizing on how to overturn votes in Democratic precincts.
The idea is to install party-trained volunteers prepared to challenge voters at Democratic-majority polling places. And then to back up those party-trained poll workers with a, quote, army of party-friendly lawyers.
Those folks are largely QAnon, election deniers, folks who think the election was corrupted, who are now going to be trained as poll workers, sitting there having their hands on the ballots, taking in the information from the voters.
Oh, boy, this is not good. This is definitely not good. Trump lovers are planning to install themselves in place of nonpartisan poll workers. It's a major conflict of interest. It's like hiring death as a lifeguard. I don't know if he's interested in saving you. And look, I'm not surprised that Trump Republicans are switching their things up for this coming election, because last time, what did they do? They left it to this guy, right? A man who was somehow even bad at sweating. I mean look at that, right? That's what it looks like when hope physically leaves your body. And this is the thing about Republicans. They're not deterred by setbacks, right? They tried to steal the election last time, and what happened? Everyone laughed at them. And they could have given up, you know, and tried to win the election based solely on the strength of their ideas, but no, they got up. They dusted themselves off, and they said, this time, we're not going to need to overturn the votes because we won't count them in the first place. And let that be a lesson, kids. You never give up on your dreams. I think that's the lesson, right? That is the lesson? No, it's not that? Oh, and by the way, if you're worried that this means you won't get your I voted stickers, calm down, you will. Yeah, it'll just have a question mark at the end. Spice things up. All right, let's move on. Are you one of those people who eats fish instead of red meat because it's healthier for you? Well, if you live in Florida, you might want to think again.
There's this alarming study out of Florida finding fish off the coast are contaminated with pharmaceuticals. Researchers sampled 93 bonefish over 3 years and found an average of 7 meds per bonefish. One fish had 17 different drugs. List includes blood pressure medication, antidepressants, antibiotics, pain relievers, and a lot more. Researchers say the meds get in the wastewater every time people flush.
You know, every time I think I've seen the most American story of all time, this kind of stuff comes up. Because which other country can say, there's so much medication leaving our bodies, we're basically providing Obamacare to the fish? Think about it. How much medication are American doctors prescribing people? I think it might be too much if I can shit out a full dose for somebody else. I will say this could be a good thing. There is a silver lining. Drug prices have gotten so high in America, if you can't afford your heart medication, now you can just go to Red Lobster. Yeah. Yeah, you might get your blood pressure down, or you might get a 4-hour erection. Either way, you're happier. You're happier. And I know there's some people who are like, Trevor, it's not about the people. This is unhealthy for the fish. It's not about humans. I actually think this is good for the fish. I do. I think it's good that they got a hold of some of those antidepressants, you know? Yeah, if your habitat was slowly boiling around you, you could use some Lexapro, you know? Just chill you out. And you know, when I was watching this story, like, I know that we put toilet water in the ocean, but this story just reminded me that we put our toilet water in the ocean. Yeah, it's just like whenever I'm having fun at the beach, you know, frolicking in the waves. Ah, ha, ha, ha. I never think, man, it's great to spend time in a big, giant toilet. We don't think of the ocean as that when we're in it, you know? You realize people propose at the beach. Now, once you remember that our toilet water goes there, it's not as romantic anymore. You know, it's just like, so how did he propose? It's like, oh, remember that huge dump you flushed the other day? It was right next to that. Oh, my God. All right, but let's move on to some exciting news from the world of science, and in particular, robots. There's no denying that robots have come a long way, you know, from helping humans assemble cars, to showing off their dance moves to distract us from the apocalypse they're planning, to even running some of the world's biggest social media companies. But it turns out the next big leap in robots might actually be really small.
Well, a group of engineers from Northwestern University developing the smallest remote control robots ever created. Look at this. So this tiny crab robot is only 0.5 millimeter wide. That's smaller than a flea. It can walk along the edge of a penny, too. Now, the bot has the ability to crawl, jump, and even twist. The engineers hope micro robots can eventually repair small machines in tight spaces.
Ew. Those things look like something Wally picked up at an airport, La Quinta. Yeah. It's like, oh, you gotta wrap it up, Wally. That looks disgusting. You know, I don't know why. This kind of robot scares me a lot more than the human-sized ones. You know, because at least if a big robot goes berserk, we can close the door. I don't know, man. We're making tiny robots. They're just gonna wait until you're asleep. And they crawl into your mouth, into your brain. Yeah. And they get into your brain and they trigger that memory of the time you asked that girl to prom and she said she was busy that night, but then you saw her at the prom. And now I wish that robot had killed me. And you know, while it's cool to have a super tiny robot to repair small machines, what are you gonna do when the tiny robots break? Do we think about that? Huh? Yeah, you don't think about it, do you? Yeah, you realize what's gonna happen. You've got robots breaking, you bring the tiny robots to fix those, and then the tiny robots break, and then what do you do? You're gonna have to call the world's tiniest repairman to your house. Okay, before we get started, there's a few things I'm gonna need from you. I'm gonna get thirsty, so give me a drop of water for the day, okay? Secondly, I only take Venmo. Can't risk getting stuck under another dollar bill for a week. No more of that. And most importantly, make sure you lock up your cat. That thing's like a T-Rex to me. I'm tiny. Okay, finally. Have you ever wondered what happens between the time you click order on a food delivery app and the food actually arriving at your door? And you might be saying, oh, I know what happens, Trevor. I rub one out while I wait. No. What I mean is what happens on the food side. You guys are disgusting. Well, now, delivery drivers are revealing what's really happening behind the scenes.
You may want to pick it up instead of having it delivered. According to a new poll, 80% of delivery workers admit to eating some of the food in their customers' orders.
Mm-mm. More than 500 delivery drivers were polled for the survey, and the results show 25% confessed to hooking up with someone in their vehicle.
I'm sorry, that is shocking. 80% of drivers eat their customers' food? So that means 20% of drivers are delivering vegan meals? That can't be right. I actually don't necessarily have a problem with sharing my food with someone. I'm not Swedish. And also, this news actually makes me feel better about ordering takeouts. Yeah, because now when someone says, do you know how many calories are in those fries? I'll be like 30% less, thanks to Barry. 5 stars, Barry, 5 stars. And before you hear this news and go, ah, delivery drivers are shit, they're eating our food, maybe you should be asking, why do these billion-dollar tech companies pay the delivery people so badly that they have to eat your food? In fact, they should have an option where on top of the tip, you can order extra food for them. The only detail that threw me in this whole thing is the part about hooking up in the car. That threw me off. Yeah, when they said, like, delivery drivers admit to hooking up in the car. Like, when? I just want to know when. I don't mind, but when? Is it, like, when they're not delivering, or is it when they're on the job? Is that, like, while they're delivering the food? Because I'll be honest, man, you know, I don't want my freshly cooked dumplings to witness that. Oh, boy. I can't wait to go to my new house. Oh, it's gonna be, wait, why are we stopping? What are you two doing? I don't want to see this. I don't want to see this. Close the lid. Why does he have a sausage on here? What's going on? Tough life for the dumplings. All right. We got to take a quick break, but don't go away, because when we come back, Michael Costa hits the streets to find solutions to America's gun problem. You don't want to miss it.
The wait is over. The Chi returns May 10th on Paramount Plus, and the stakes have never been higher. Everything changes on the South Side when a new threat comes to power in the Showtime original series from Emmy winner Lena Waithe. Battle lines will be drawn, alliances will shift, and danger lies around every corner, leaving everyone to wonder who they can trust. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto-renews. Restrictions apply.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-lunch pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Welcome back to The Daily Show. On May 14th, a man armed with an AR-15 style rifle shot up a supermarket in Buffalo. 10 days later, another man with an AR-15 style rifle shot up a school in Texas. And just yesterday, a man with an AR-15 style rifle shot up a medical building in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now, you might think the problem here is all the AR-15 style rifles. But that just shows how little you know, because the real problem, according to some, is all the doors.
Have one door into and out of the school, and have that one door armed police officers at that door.
There should be one entrance in and one entrance out in all of our elementary and all of our middle schools. They're small enough to do that.
It is about the single point of entry.
If this school was on lockdown, could the doors have been locked where he couldn't have gotten in?
Classroom doors should be hardened to make them lockable from the inside and closed to intruders from the outside.
That's right. America has a doors problem. In fact, some doors are totally unhinged, and yet politicians are doing nothing. And since we know other countries don't have America's mass shooting problem, that clearly means that they know something about doors that we don't. So we asked Michael Costa to hit the streets and find out how other countries deal with their doors.
In the days since Uvalde, we've had 11 more mass shootings. Hold on. Shit, another one. In the days since Uvalde, we've had 12 more mass... Hold on, news alert. 13! Shit. 14 mass shootings. Jesus.
But for some reason, mass shootings are the one part of American culture that isn't popular in other countries.
How often are you having mass shootings in India? Is it weekly? Is it daily?
Since zero. None.
In our 30 years.
Absolutely
never.
None.
Never. I've never heard of a mass shooting in Ireland.
Wow. So what are they doing differently than us?
Mass shootings in America. Everyone knows what's causing them. No one's really saying it. It's the elephant in the room. Let's say it together. America has too many
guns.
Wait, what did you say? The one thing America can do to prevent mass shootings is to limit each school to one, or even better, zero doors.
I disagree.
Why?
That doesn't make sense.
One door, how is that going to work? It's like one door for the entire school.
It's like a jail. How are you going to get out of fire?
Let's say we're in a school together with no doors and we're in a fire. Yeah. That's why the kids should have guns.
No.
You shoot out a circle. I'll grab your hand. I'll be like, I saw it in an action movie once.
Okay.
And then we go out, or we shoot out the window.
Why are they allowed to go? Do you know what I mean?
Well, what do guns have to do with it? I'm talking about, like, doors, you know, like the shooters come in through doors.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure why these tourists were ignoring the real threat to our nation, doors.
How did the Polish government defeat the door lobby?
They don't. They just let people have doors.
Okay, and how many shootings have there been?
None.
What?
Well, none. Yeah.
But these are little European doors, like little ones that like Hansel and Gretel walk through?
No.
This isn't the old days, with the old doors, the big wooden heavy doors that was real difficult to open. You know, these are new modern doors, like even a kid can open them. There's so many heartless manufacturers like Smith & Wesson, no, like Crate & Barrel. They make doors.
It doesn't have to do with the doors.
Hey, I realize doors are a hot button issue, but just keep your cool. I'm not saying anything crazy. I'm just saying you should have a license to buy a door. You should have a background check to buy a door. If you have committed a violent crime in the last 5 years, maybe there's a waiting period for you to buy a door.
So you say that buying a gun should be easier than buying any door?
But what do guns have to do with it? Guns are what keep us safe.
Foreigners like to say that Americans are obsessed with guns. Yet when it comes to preventing mass shootings, all they wanted to talk about was guns. Now who's obsessed?
Do you think it would help to ban revolvers?
Yeah.
You know, the doors that go around like
I thought revolvers.
Right.
Sorry.
Oh, you were thinking of guns.
No guns in the UK. No
very,
shootings.
Yeah.
But what about your constitutional right to have a gun?
No constitutional right.
Whoa. Does it suck over there?
We have a law. You can't buy a gun just like that. You have to have permission to have a gun.
Yeah. Permit, a license?
Yeah, a license. You can't go in the shop and have a gun.
It's complicated.
It is.
But let me tell you what's simple. One door. You keep coming back to these guns.
Right.
People are coming through the doors to do dangerous stuff.
Well, they have to have something dangerous with them, like a gun. And the doors, I don't know, you walk through the doors. I can't see the red. I'm sorry, I can't understand.
I appreciate you apologizing. An apology accepted.
Maybe one day these foreigners will have some actual advice on how to stop mass shootings in America. But until then, our door is open.
We'll figure it out, Michael. Stay tuned, because we're going to be joined by Ukrainian ambassador to the United Nations, Sergei Kitslia. So please, don't go away.
The wait is over. The Chi returns May 10th on Paramount Plus, and the stakes have never been higher. Everything changes on the South Side when a new threat comes to power in the Showtime original series from Emmy winner Lena Waithe. Battle lines will be drawn, alliances will shift, and danger lies around every corner, leaving everyone to wonder who they can trust. Visit ParamountPlus.com/TheShot to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto-renews. Restrictions apply.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Bring along the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies to add a sprinkle of joy to your workday. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Daily Show. My guest tonight is Ukraine's representative to the United Nations. He's here to talk about Russia's war in Ukraine. Please welcome Ambassador Sergei Kislytsia. Welcome. Ambassador, welcome to the Daily Show.
Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
You have a really position, a really interesting position and a difficult undertaking right now because you are representing Ukraine at the UN and Ukraine is in one of the most precarious positions right now. Before we get into where we are, let's maybe clear up the beginning. How did this start and what is the cause of what we're seeing in Ukraine?
Well, do you want a long story or you want a short version?
I guess we're on TV,
well, the long
so the short
one
version.
Is like 300 years. But the short one is Putin came to power and he probably promised himself that he would restore the Soviet Empire. And ever since, we are in the state of war. And now we are in the state of hot war. I mean, actually, the war started not on the 24th of February. It started back in 2014.
Mm-hmm. And you're in a position now where, as you said, I like that you call it a hot war, because it's a war that, you know, people can see very clearly. There are many people who are being killed. There are tanks rolling in. It's a different type of war, though, because everybody agrees that Ukraine is in the right. Everybody agrees that Russia is doing something wrong. And yet, because of Russia being Russia, it seems like the United Nations and many other countries are scared to overact for fear of causing a world war. How do you then ask for help? And what do you hope will be achieved if countries, you know, have to balance this precarious position?
Well, I think that, as a matter of fact, for me, we are already in the Third World War, which may be kind of crazy to say, but the 21st century is not the 20th century where we had these standard wars with tanks crossing the borders. We are in a hybrid world, and you don't really need to cross the border to attack the United States. You can do that in the cyberspace, you know, or you can do like a terrorism or financial terrorism. So basically, we are there in the United Nations, and the United Nations is a product of three old gentlemen, among which were Joseph Stalin. So it's not perfect, and we still, in the 100th day of the war, we still have Russia sitting in front of us. And we still pretend that we have to respect it. And the only reason we respect the Russian Federation is because, well, I do not respect, but they have to respect. That's a very important correction. Because they possess the nuclear arsenal, and they are really paranoid that Russia may use nukes against them.
So is your argument then that Russia shouldn't be sitting as one of those permanent members of the UN?
Oh, first of all, Russia is not a permanent member, if you ask me. I mean, Russia occupied the seat of the Soviet Union back in 1991, the same way that Russia occupied Georgia, the same way Russia occupied Transnistria in Moldova, the same way Russia invaded Syria. So Russia occupies, and we are all complacent with that. I mean, we were complacent with that until the night of the 23rd, and all of a sudden we were surprised that it happened. I mean, which was imminent for 30 years.
But do you think that maybe this has been, you know, it everything in hindsight is 20/20. You know, and I've read, you know, some historians who would argue that, you know, there could have been a way for the world to bring Russia into the fold from the very beginning. Some say the problem was the fact that Russia was pushed out. Russia felt like they were being isolated.
Yeah, yeah,
it felt like NATO was encroaching on their territory. If Putin was brought into the fold, he would have had a vested interest in being part of the world. Do you see any credence in that argument?
Well, you know, I saw many Kremlinologists, or Sovietologists, as they are called often, and they are tunneled with their vision of the world, the same way like Germany was tunneled with Nord Stream. You know, they saw the world through the tunnel of Nord Stream. And we were guilty of letting Putin grow as a dictator, mm-hmm, of unprecedented scale in Europe. Probably Hitler was only the one we can compare him with. No, I don't believe in appeasement. I believe in the need to fight the virus. And Russian Putinism is the same as COVID, but it's only the international politics COVID, you know.
Right, right. And it is taking its toll as well. You know, your country's in a position now where every day we read about how Russia is changing its tactics. You know, it's slowly becoming a war of attrition as opposed to a direct assault. You know, Ukraine has inspired the world in how you're fighting back. You know, your president has been there staying in the country, you know, despite what everyone thought he would do. When you get to the point, though, where it feels like European nations are almost encouraging Ukraine to in some way, you know, give up a piece of territory. You see many European nations saying, Ukraine, maybe you should just give them the Donbas region, just give them that part that has already expressed some sort of interest in becoming part of Russia. You have said that that is a complete non-starter. Why?
Yeah, it's absolutely. I mean, unless everybody is amnesiac, you know, let me remind it what happened in 1938 when Hitler signed a Munich agreement with Chamberlain. The New York Times literally ran an article, and I can quote from it, "The world has never been pregnant with hope as it is now." And then what happened? Czechoslovakia lost one-fifth of its territory. The Nazi troops moved in. And then in less than 12 months, the Second World War started, and the whole Czechoslovakia was invaded. So basically, if people are not very cognizant of the history lessons, they have to go back to schools, I think. And it's a duty of all of us to make them study the history.
Are you worried that European countries may at some point say, this is too much for us and we don't know if we're going to back Ukraine through this? Because we've seen, again, through history, Russia is not afraid to fight long, painful wars. You know, it seems like Vladimir Putin's not afraid to send his troops out onto the front lines and have them perish because he doesn't have to worry about an election that he's losing. You know, approval is not his issue. And so if you're in that position, you know, Ukraine is in a space where you have your people who may get demoralized. You know, you have a nation that is constantly bombarded. You know, obviously the U.S. is helping you. But what would you hope the next steps would be then? Where do you see the world moving towards to help Ukraine?
Well, Trevor, you just came from Europe, aren't you? Right?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, you saw it with your own eyes that Europe is not really homogeneous. It is so diverse. It's like a bouquet of nations.
Right.
So it would be kind of overgeneralization to say that Europe believes, Europe says. I mean, we have wonderful, wonderful nations like Poland, like the UK, like Portugal. I just talked to the Portuguese ambassador, like Baltic states. They will fight hard until the very end to defeat the Russian despotism. You know, we have some countries that got used to live in comfort for so long mm-hmm. that they are out of context altogether. Oh. But the thing is that if we do not defeat Putinism today, right? If we will be satisfied with just a military defeat of Russia in Ukraine, and we will let this dictator to regrow his chopped back claws, they will hit all of you again, like in 5 or 7 years from now, and then we all pay triple price for it. So even from the point of view of investing money in Ukrainian victory. Investing money in Ukrainian victory is investing money in your own security. And you should be all grateful that it is the Ukrainian soldiers, not the British soldiers, not the American soldiers, who are dying in the front, defending the collective democratic world, you know. So I have to remind about that to all of our viewers and to all people in Europe, in North America, and not only there. I have to remind all Africans who will suffer from the food shortages in 2 months from now.
A lot of people don't know about that. You know, I saw many people complaining about food prices going up. Many people in the Middle East and Africa struggling with, you know, a shortage of wheat and bread is, you know,
exactly.
One of the most important food sources. Many people don't know how much of that grain is coming from Ukraine for the entire world.
There are countries that are 70% dependent on Ukrainian grain. And those countries are devastated with civil wars, or with droughts, or with climate calamities. They have no way to go on the market and buy grain from somewhere else. So, I mean, for them, it is a matter of survival. And the fact is that we have 21 million tons of grain sitting to be exported.
Right.
And we can't do that because one crazy little person in Kremlin does not really allow us to do that, you know? And that's amazing. I mean, that's amazing. And one of the jobs we have to do, one of the things we are doing currently in the United Nations, we are desperately seeking the way how to save millions of people who are literally under the threat of dying of starvation 10,000 miles away from Ukraine. Mm-hmm. You know, and that is why this conflict has so many implications. That unlike in 2014, when we were all happy to have 100 nations voting in favor of the territorial integrity of Ukraine, we now have overwhelming majority. We have 141 nations that voted on the 2nd of March and that identify Russia as an aggressor state. You know, there were only four countries, such wonderful countries as North Korea and Syria, who voted in support of Russia. You know, and it's very important. It's very important because the world finally understood that it's not just about Ukraine. Mm-hmm. It's about the entire collective democratic community of nations.
Thank you so much for joining us, Ambassador.
Thank you for inviting me.
I appreciate the time. Hopefully we'll see you again. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Yeah, it's coming back.
The wait is over. The Chi returns May 10th on Paramount Plus, and the stakes have never been higher. Everything changes on the South Side when a new threat comes to power in the Showtime original series from Emmy winner Lena Waithe. Battle lines will be drawn, alliances will shift,
and danger lies around every corner, leaving everyone to wonder who they can trust. Visit ParamountPlus.com/TheShot to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto-renews. Restrictions apply.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-lunch pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Well, that's our show for tonight. But before we go, this year, on the one-year anniversary of the Capitol insurrection, we erected a tribute right here in New York to the heroes who fought against America on January 6th and lost. This weekend, June 3rd to June 5th, we'll be bringing those monuments to Los Angeles for one weekend only. And we've added two new never-before-seen heroes. So if you are in Los Angeles, come and see the pop-up at the Westfield Century City. For more information, keep an eye on the Daily Show social feeds. Until next time, stay safe out there, and remember, ask your doctor if fish from Florida is right for you.
Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.